Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
So that's why it's so urgent that we talk to our family members and our friends who are hesitant to get the vaccine and plead with them for their sake, for their family's sake, for our community's sake, for our country's sake. This is the most patriotic thing that we can do right now, is to get vaccinated and help our fellow Americans get vaccinated so that we can get our economy back, we can get our kids back to school, we can get back to work, and we can build back better as President Biden is leading us into this new era of our country.
Wow, that's an interesting phrase, build back better, that Representative Raul Ruiz spoke. Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times in which God has decided we will live. Times such as these require certain responsibilities. I am set to talk about and to ask you to adopt a stance of resistance. The rest of the world is resisting in big ways. We need to resist the sexualization of our children by going to the school board meetings and reading from the perverse pornographic sex ed to each of the school board members. We need to confront them. We need to make them live in the reality they're creating for our kids. I do not get up in the morning and say, hey, I want to use rough language on the radio. I don't. It's the last thing I want to do, in fact, on the radio show. And we need to go to the school board meetings and say, hi, I'm Todd Herman. I'm a resident here, taxpayer, and I have a question for every member of the school board. Do you masturbate with fruits and vegetables? Because you have a handout here showing kids who can't afford sex toys that they use fruits and vegetables. So I'll start with you. Yes, school board, head of the school board here, Doug Smith. Is it fruits or vegetables for you? We need to adopt a stance of resistance. And that involves getting people to live in the world they're creating. And stances of resistance for cops. Cops are doing a good job of this. They're actually speaking out about the natural results of depolicing. And they're beginning to share. And it's been immediate. In the separate country of Washington State and the separate country within a country, the communist
Simple
country
thing.
In Seattle...
All we have to do is sell Seattle.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Technology, damn it!
Taking my terrifying reality and trying to claim it as their own!
I have them for breakfast!
We will rise against the Bezos!
Horrifying things!
Those are the voices of real voters in Seattle and real policymakers. The woman taking the Lord's name in vain there is a Seattle City Councilwoman screaming about technology that they now adopt. A woman who's a defense attorney went to work in the King County Courthouse. One would assume that you could keep a person safe in the King County Courthouse, what with the metal detectors and the sheriff's deputies and the security guards and the fact that there are going to be suspected criminals in and out and convicted criminals in and out. One would assume that you could keep that place safe. I mean, the outside of that building has been unsafe for 2 years. Our former sheriff was nearly attacked by a man who wanted to stab him with scissors while he was walking across the street. Fortunately, there was a sheriff's deputy there to draw down on the man, so John was not attacked. John Urquhart was not attacked. Across the street from there, there's been talk of shutting down the drug camp that's across the street. The drug and sex trafficking camp that's across the street, because too many people are attacked, because judges, good members of the party, many of them, have been forced to say, we don't feel safe. And sane people have been saying that for years, but that's across the street. But then there's this kind of drug camp sort of inside the King County Courthouse. A woman is a defense attorney. I don't know her, and neither do you, and we don't know her heart or why she's a defense attorney, and people do deserve a defense in our system. She's also a human being who happens to be 7 months pregnant. And she goes into the bathroom, and a man is in the bathroom. Now, it's perfectly legal for a man to be in the woman's bathroom or shower or even little girls' bathrooms or showers, because in Washington state, people with penises, men, get to go into showers with little girls and wash their penises right there in the showers because they're women with penises. This woman was attacked in the bathroom in the King County Courthouse. And fortunately, she was able to scream for help, and there were deputies nearby who rushed in. Now, that's not an inability to protect. It's a decision to not protect. Now, just so everybody knows, and I want to make sure because I can sense the concern, Mayor Snow Shovel's okay. She was not attacked. Smack Daddy Dow Constantine is okay. He was not attacked. Heroin Dan Satterberg, the so-called King County prosecutor, he's okay and his wife's okay, and they weren't attacked. The city council members are okay. They weren't attacked, because I know that that's the important thing here. Is that the party leaders are safe. And this is what we're building up into. In Washington state, here's some things that are legal. Heroin, meth, fentanyl, sex trafficking, property crimes, trespassing, street racing. We could continue on. Harassment, vandalism, all legal. Either expressly legal or de facto legal. Here's some things that are not legal in Washington state. Happy meals with apple juice in the Apple State. Drinking straws are illegal in Seattle. And in Washington state, Dell will no longer ship high-end gaming PCs to Washington state, because according to Dell Computer, it violates the law. This product cannot be shipped to the states of California, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Vermont, or Washington due to power consumption regulations adopted by those states. These are the same states that are converting everybody to electric cars, though there is not the power grid to support the electric cars. These are the same states. In Seattle, they're banning natural gas in homes and forcing people to go back to hydroelectric power. In Olympia, this is the capital of the separate country of Washington state, and Olympia is a lost city, utterly lost. You have the so-called mayor of Olympia put the Black Lives Matter Incorporated sign in her window and or the flag up, and they still broke into her house. And she, whoa, wait, I'm a good party member. They broke in and vandalized the mayor's house, because the goal is not to gain support. The goal is to terrorize. This is a person running for Seattle City Council in Olympia, Talana Reed. And I hope we got all the bleeping done in this thing. Sometimes they sneak through. Let's listen in.
I won't take that long. I won't take up much of your time. It's raining, but... can we say a couple names for just because the police? But I want to say their
names. Blank the police.
Breonna Taylor. And okay, Yvonne McDonald.
So Breonna Taylor was in a relationship with a drug dealer who in all likelihood put her body between he and the cops when they came in through the door. It's a terrible, terrible case. Breonna Taylor made a poor decision.
Both black men were murdered by the police.
By the blanking police. Folks, that is a person running to be on the city council in the capital city of the separate country of Washington state. That's how you run for a position that is traditionally responsible for streetlights being on time and trash being picked up. That's the party. There's one tune. White people and cops are evil. There's one tune. And cops are beginning to respond and tell the story, such as what happened in the King County Courthouse shouldn't have happened. We'll give you one other. In a period of a couple of days, we'll give you one other to show what's being done to your safety at the same time that Washington State wants your guns. We'll continue to unfold this. So that's it. That woman that we were playing in that last clip, she's actually leading the race for city council in Olympia. But again, and I want everybody to know this because I can sense the concern from the audience. Jay Inslee's okay. He has a private team of Washington State patrolmen who are forced to guard him. He still hasn't paid the state of Washington back the, $2, $3, $4 million he stole by having the Washington State Patrol guard him as he went around Iowa garnering his 0% support for running for president. Should have been paid for by his campaign. Nah, he doesn't care, and he's fine. He's safe. Sideshow Bob Ferguson, the part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of campaign donations, full-time crusher of people who dare to cross the party, spending his entire life pursuing Tim Iman. He's safe, too. They're all well-guarded. This is from Pierce County Sheriff. Pierce County is a county roughly south of Seattle, somewhat east. Deputies responded to a shooting at Kohl's, the Kohl's store. One male was found in the parking lot dead. This would be about the 15th shooting this past week. The suspect fled the scene. Here's a fun fact. A canine deputy was on scene within minutes, but since they only had a description of the shooter and no probable cause for a specific person, the police could not track him with the canine. They couldn't use the canine's olfactory senses to smell the suspect, to track the suspect, because they didn't have the suspect's name. So he was allowed to get away. If he's smart, he'll go to the King County Courthouse. Go live in the King County Courthouse. Go live in one of the drug camps, one of the sex trafficking camps. Our stance of resistance is this. In each of these cases, make these people live in the world they're creating. The Washington State Patrol should have every deputy who guards anyone at the state level call in sick. This is what they're doing to the citizens who pay the taxes to support the cops. The Seattle police should pull any and all cops who guard any and all elected officials in King County or Seattle. I'm not kidding. I've been saying for almost 2 years, the cops should be consider a strike. About 6 months ago, I said, you need to have a week, a sick out. They must live in the reality that they're creating for others. That is our only way out of this stuff, because it's happening at a national basis as well. We'll get to that. The nightmare of candidates who want to be the boss of Seattle, what some people consider to be mayor, they're not even responding to the crisis. They want to talk about inanimate objects with the help of the Seattle Media 5, who continues to use the poll-tested, poll-created, manufactured nonsense phrase, gun violence.
We have lost 250 cops over the past year. Every category of crime is up from where it was a year ago. So we have to hire officers. But I believe that's our opportunity to hire officers that share our values and that can be part of that change that we all want.
You've got to have the leadership of the police department and the political leadership behind you. Then you have to have enough cops, but you also have to have enough prosecutor backbone to go after smaller crimes to make sure that this is actually going to work.
Wow, someone speaking small bits of sense.
We will have more police officers, effective police officers.
I'll just hate to break this to you guys. You can hire in Seattle at this point, you could hire 10,000 cops. There's about 400 right now. You could have 10,000 cops and it won't matter. The Democrats, the party, has decided that you will not enforce the laws. They have decided you will not pull people over for even car theft. Hey, that guy stole the car. Well, you know what? I have no specific description of the individual. Guy's running away. He just shot somebody. Sorry, that's just your word against his. I can't chase him. But you got a dog. Nope, nope, he's gone. Can't do anything. But this guy, he was in a mental institution, and he stole a school bus. He's wearing a yellow dress, a full bearded man, stole a school bus. He drove across three counties. Sorry, we can't do anything. Wait a minute. He got out of the bus, then he stole a piece of earth-moving equipment and drove it into a house. Sorry, our hands are tied. We can't do anything. There's no imminent danger. Make these people live in the world that they're creating for themselves. Barbara Boxer had this experience of living in this world. The networks, by the way, all of them have ignored this story, save one who actually decided to have a conversation with Babs.
Do you think that bail reform, which is something progressives have championed, is at the heart of solving the crime problem right now?
I think we have to look at all of these things. And we need to base our decisions on what is happening. Clearly, the Chicago police chief knows exactly what he's talking about. We don't want people out on the streets who are a danger to other people. Of course we don't. We have to keep them in jail, and we have to try to reach them in jail and get them on a better path.
So this was Babs after she was attacked in Oakland, in Franklin Square in Oakland. Because someone wanted her cell phone. Is this a change of tone now for Babs? And at least Erin Burnett on CNN had her on, and at least she asked the question, because the rest of the media, mockingbirds, have been ignoring this. Also on CNN, Anna Navarro. She had this response after Don Lemon somehow or another said something that made sense. I can't fathom how this happened, but he did. He was defending Tucker Carlson from being publicly harassed because the rest of the Mockingbird is cheering, Mockingbird Media, are cheering this mobbed up D.C. federal employee who decided somehow on camera to go at Tucker Carlson in a fishing store in Montana. The rest of the Mockingbirds have just been pretending, oh, he's just a citizen of Montana. Anna Navarro did not like hearing Tucker Carlson defended.
Don, I also don't think there should be hurricanes or there should be COVID. But crap happens, okay? We get well remunerated for giving our opinion, and that comes with good and that comes with bad. So put on your big boy pants or your big girl pants and get on with
it. It's so funny that she's big boy pants. She's such a clever one. That's what it's like when there's no teleprompter around for these people like Anna Navarro. Now, Don Lemon, on the other hand, he had Harry Dunn, the disgraced liar of a cop in Washington, D.C., who liked the Black Lives Matter Incorporated riots, was silent when Antifa Black Lives Matter used what amount to shoot and move tactics to try to scale the wall of the White House while they were burning down or trying to burn down a church. He liked that stuff. But man, he said January 6th, worst thing on earth. And of course, the Mockingbirds aren't going to call that out. Don Lemon about the Black Lives Matter Incorporated people just trying to scale the walls of the White House. Well, they just went too
far. Can we focus on what happened on January 6th where our democracy was in jeopardy?
We should be.
This weren't just people who were exercising, some of them were exercising their right to protest. Mm-hmm. Others went way too far. That's a different story than trying to undermine democracy and stop an election.
Yeah, but trying to scale the walls of the White House, setting off IEDs outside the White House, starting multiple fires, attempting to burn down an historic church in order to distract the Secret Service and the police and the first responders so you can scale the walls of the White House to seize it. That's just protesting, Donnie. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show after we check. This is the radio show that is hosted by a right-wing wacko, but not a convicted felon. Some people will get that, some people won't, depending on how long you've listened to talk radio. Man, he's become a weirdo again. Guys, just quoting, just saying. Okay, I need to take a sip. Need to stretch out my hammies. Because there's a possibility I might blow my top. I'm going to try to control myself. Let me start with this. This is me controlling myself. Last night, the New York Times wrote, quote, "The Delta variant is as contagious as chickenpox and may be spread by vaccinated people as easily as the unvaccinated," an internal CDC report says. People who've had the mRNA injections can just as easily share the COVID flu as people who have not had the mRNA injections. Except for this. The New York Times leaves out a population of people. People who have had the COVID flu and recovered are resistant to the Delta variant far more commonly than the people who have been injected with the mRNA injections. But we need to shut everything down again. The stance of resistance in this has to start now. We have to say no to all of this. And I'm repeating myself from last March. Because Joe Biden's dementia, his people are saying and suggesting that, yeah, we might just need to do a federal lockdown of the country, even though the death rates for the Delta variant, the death rates are lower than we've seen in this country since March of 2020, when incidentally the CDC changed the way deaths are counted, but only for the COVID flu.
President Biden says that we are not returning to lockdowns, shutdowns, and school closures, but he also once said that we didn't have to wear masks anymore once we were vaccinated. So why should Americans trust him now?
Well, because we listen to the scientists. We listen to the expert. This is a public health situation.
We listen to the scientists and the expert. Is that Freudian? The expert? Well, there are only one scientist in, that's me. Because we listen to the scientists and expert.
You should shove a stick up your nose if you got yourself a sinus problem. I'm a doctor. Okay, I'll shove a stick up my beak.
This is not about politics at all. This is about saving lives. And this is what
the death rate for the COVID flu in the Delta variant is lower than it was in March of 2020. The lockdowns have killed more people, more young people, than the COVID flu. By a long shot.
What the president is all about. He wants to make sure that we are safe.
The president is about, when I was a young man, I flew an airplane to Mars and drove an 18-wheeler back. It's called deadheading.
If you look at Peter the last 6 months, that's what he's done every day. And you see that in the numbers. Now we're at a point where we have to double down and make it very, very clear to people that
double down.
We can't let the pandemic win. We have to continue to fight.
So if you're listening to the science, if scientists come to you at some point down the line and say, it is our opinion that there should be shutdowns and there should be school closures, you would do that?
Well, we listened to, like I said, we listened to the CDC and the expert and their guidance.
She said it again. She said it again. The expert. One person. Fact. Scientific results that cannot be criticized are not scientific results. The conclusion of one dude named Tony Fauci is my name. That's not a scientific process. If you're being forced to wear a woke mask, my friend John Curley suggests this. This is a great suggestion. Don't use a Sharpie. Don't use a black marker because you'll end up smelling it all day. You'll get sick. But make sure it's legible on your mask. If you're forced to wear one to keep your job, write on it 2 + 2 = 5. On every single woke mask, 2 + 2 = 5. If you have had the virus and you have recovered, then write, I have natural immunity on it. Naturally immune. Because we have to break people out of their stupor. This is why I had to stretch my hammies and take a sip. If we don't stop this time, it will never stop. You will live this way for the rest of your lives, and your kids will live under this technocracy for the rest of your lives. America, half of this country is failing this test. I am on record. I will not wear a woke mask. I will not be shot up with the mRNA. And I know that that could make me unemployable and a criminal and okay, because my reward is not here on earth. Here's how insane this is. This is a guy you're going to hear named Dan Bailey. Now, most people have no idea who Dan is. And that's fine. Dan is a CrossFit Games veteran. He happens to be a really wonderful human being. He's a man who shares his faith quite openly. He is supportive of people. He suffered some big-time injuries and couldn't compete at a high level for 3 years. Finally came back to compete at the CrossFit Games as a master, that is, as an old person. He's all of 37. Dan fought his way back into the games. Was going to Wisconsin to be in the games. And then?
And was going to basically have my own lane to compete in and continue to compete as long as I continued to test negative on the antigen tests, which at this point this morning I thought I was going to. I thought I was just going to have to compete the week with a bad flu, but I went to get the antigen test this morning, and within 5 minutes, there was a tentative or a possible positive on one test, so they brought out another test immediately. I tested again, and within 10 minutes, both of those turned out to be positive, so I was medically removed from the CrossFit Games. It's super frustrating. I'm really bummed. I want to thank everybody who came out to watch and who is there to watch. Thank you guys for coming out. Thank you for cheering me on this past year in route to the Masters competition.
These are, by definition, the most fit people on earth. Strength, balance, cardiovascular systems, anaerobic, aerobic systems, everything. 3 to 5% body fat on the men. No obesity, no respiratory issues, none of this. And more to the point, there are therapeutics available. Ivermectin and the ivermectin protocol called MATH can be employed. Dan's not going to get sick. No one around him is going to get sick if that is employed. But you can't have an emergency authorization for an experimental gene therapy if there are therapeutics available. They have been breaking federal law for 2 years. Because they started planning, they started patent trading on the COVID-19 clot shots years before today. A year before March of 2020, they started patent trading. If you don't stand up now, if we don't stand up together,
there is no bodily freedom. If there's no bodily freedom, there's no freedom. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Thank you for being part of the program, and I think I held myself together last segment. Sips and stretching the hammies, relaxing into it. On your mask, if you are forced to wear one at work to keep your job, to feed your family, write 2 + 2 = 5. Please, 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 all of us must do this. I will not be wearing a woke mask unless I have to go to a hospital again and visit a loved one who might be bleeding out. It's one time I've done it. I will not do it for a job, period. I will not take an experimental gene therapy for a job. Fire me. I won't do it. It's not even just about the efficacy of this or the ROI. It's about the standard we're setting. We need to take a stance of resistance. Here's some other ideas on stances of resistance. In your school, if your teachers are teaching your kids, if you can't get your kids out of the government school, I understand. It's a struggle. Please know that I understand that as a parent. It's a struggle for a lot of folks. I do understand. I promise. If they teach your kids pornographic, perverse sex ed, call the cops. I have provided multiple times on this program the RCWs in Washington State that pertain to sharing sexual information with children as a crime. And you can find them too. It is illegal for adults to share certain sexual information with children. This is true in most states. Call the cops. Call 911. Make them create a police report. Make them put the name of the teacher in it. Seek a restraining order. Go to the courts and say, this adult is showing my ninth grader images of people masturbating together. That's pornography. This adult is telling my ninth grader to get into a bath naked with his friends and hug. That adult is doing it. That's the adult's name. I want a restraining order against that adult talking to my kid ever. Make them live in the world they're creating for our kids. If a single white teacher dares to teach anything related to white people being oppressors, demand they resign on the spot so they can stop oppressing. Other thing, we must teach our children that the party hates them. Not all politicians, not all office holders, not all cops or most cops or most firefighters, nothing like that. The party. What is the party? The party is, like, for instance, the New York Times. You want to hear how you use disinformation to attack disinformation? This is an astonishingly trash article from Shira Frankel at the New York Times. Now, this is the anatomy of a smear job. And it's disinformation pretending to attack disinformation. The article that appeared on February 9 began with a seemingly innocuous question about the legal definition of vaccines. Then, over its next 3,400 words, it declared coronavirus vaccines were a medical fraud and said the injections did not prevent infections, provide immunity, or stop transmission of the disease. Instead, the article claimed the shots, quote, alter your genetic coding, turning you into a viral protein factory that has no off switch. These things are all true. The people behind the injections are now admitting, yeah, the spike proteins that we thought would just be produced in your arm, they're making it throughout your body. That is an altered
that is altering the purposes of your genes. They don't exist to produce spike proteins. The very function of these injections do that. They do not provide immunity. How do you know that? From the Moderna and Pfizer filings say, yeah, these don't provide immunity. They do not prevent infections. Who says? The CDC says. Who says? The dead 39-year-old woman who didn't even know she was sick because the injections stopped her from feeling the symptoms and she died 2 days after going to the ER. She says it. New York Times continues. Its assertions were easily disprovable. No matter. Over the next few hours, the article was translated from English into Spanish and Polish. Blah, 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 blah. Easily disprovable. But we're not going to do that here. Easily disprovable. But we're not going to do that here. This is the New York Times who Facebook turns to decide what's true and false. Teach your kids that you look at trash like this. How do you know it's trash? You don't even countercharge what you're intending to take down. Then they do this. The entire effort traced back to one person, Joseph Mercola. Mercola, 67. An osteopathic physician in Cape Coral, Florida, has been a long subject of criticism and government regulatory actions for his promotion of unproven or unapproved treatments. Like mattresses that some people like. Like supplements that some people think work, some people don't, and they get to make their own decisions. This activity has earned Mercola a natural health proponent with an everyman demeanor, the dubious distinction of the top spot in the disinformation dozen. A list of 12 people responsible for sharing 65% of all anti-vaccine messaging is on social media. Incidentally, he's not anti-vaccine. He is pro-vaccine safety, and he is willing to talk about the injuries from these magic injections. Oh, and I love this. Mercola is the pioneer of the anti-vaccine movement. He's a master of capitalizing on periods of uncertainty, like the pandemic, to grow his movement, says Kalina Koltia, a researcher at the University of Washington who studies online conspiracy theories, quoted by the New York Times, who said President Trump is a tool of Putin. Hydroxychloroquine is a poison. This election was the most safe, secure in history, but we don't have any idea what was second place. And by the way, who put together the disinformation dozen? It's a mysterious group that won't talk about their background called the Center for Countering Digital Hate. That's how you smear while pretending to correct. That's how you publish disinformation while pretending to attack it. New York Times. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.